Amen. This morning, I just want to talk to you about a couple of things. The title of my message is Developing a Fruitful Mind. Developing a Fruitful Mind. And I think it's very important for us to be able to talk about this because if we said that this is a year of fruitfulness, and you'll notice that all my messages this year have been around fruitfulness. It is not perchance, it's not just because I don't have any other thing to talk about. I have so many other messages I would love to share. But I find that the Holy Spirit keeps on leading me month by month to talk more about fruitfulness and even talk about the things that you already know and the ones that you don't know. Because I believe that God wants us as a church, as individuals, to really enter into this thing. Amen? And so this morning, I just want to share with you some of the things that will help you to develop a fruitful mind. In reality, I'll be touching on the spiritual as well as the natural, if I use that word. And some of the things I'll be sharing, you probably know it. Some of you practice it, some of you know it, but you don't do it. But my prayer is that as you listen, you'll have an understanding and a better understanding, if you don't practice it yet, of why you ought to. Now, we said the fruitful mind. You are probably aware, and I'm sure everybody knows that, I hope, that your mind plays an important role or part in your life. You know, a lot has been written, a lot has been said, a lot has been concluded about the mind, but it is one area that still baffles mankind. You know, it's one area that scientists cannot yet fully understand. You know, it's interesting because you can bring two people that grew up under the same circumstance, brothers and sisters, even twins, you can put them together, get them to go through the same experience, the same challenges, the same thing. Their reaction and the way they will behave under those situations will be different. You can have two people in the same church listening to the same messages, worshiping the same God, praying to the same God, and when they go through similar situations, in fact, it can be exactly the same situation, the way they act or behave will be different. And you find out that one of the major things that makes this happen is the mind. You see, your mind can make the difference between your success and your failure in life. Your mind can make the difference between you achieving your potential or you living an average life or a life of mediocrity. Your life or your mind can make the difference between fruitfulness in your life and not being productive as you ought to be productive. You'll find out that the Bible understands this. That's why in the book of Proverbs 23, verse 7, the Bible says that, for as a man thinks, so is he. So it means that the way you think determines what you become. You find that the way you think, your mind, for example, if you look at the story of the Israelites, when they got to the edge of the promised land, they were meant to enter the promised land. What happened? It was their mind that stopped them from entering when they should have entered. Your mind will make you think that you are less of a person than the person sitting next to you. Your mind will make you have an inferiority complex. Your mind will make you think that you cannot do the things that God has given you the ability and capabilities to do. Your mind has a lot of impact in what you become. You know, if you were to do a search on the internet, I'm sure you come up with loads of things talking about the power of the mind. There is a lot of power that the mind holds. I took the time to just look at the dictionary definition of what the mind has been defined as. And it describes the mind, the dictionary describes the mind as that element or part, or substance, or process that reasons, that thinks, that feels, that wills, that perceives, that judges. So it is that part of you that perceives, which may not be necessarily be true. It is that part of you that reasons, that thinks. It is your intellect, it is your intelligence, it is your understanding. That's what is described as the mind. And you find out that a lot of people don't pay attention to this area. Whereas it is very important. In fact, I could almost say that your mind determines almost 50% of what you are today or more. Or is what has determined. Are you listening to me this morning? A lot of things happen in the mind of people. And you find out that battles are won or lost in the mind before they really happen in reality. You win the battle in your life, in your mind, before it becomes manifest in your life. You see, the mind is a battlefield. And you find out that those that lose the battle in their mind have already lost the battle in life. Those that are unable to overcome the battle in their life will find it difficult to overcome in real life. And you find out that the battlefield of the mind is such that if you don't win that battle, it is difficult for you to be fruitful. Years ago, I struggled because I had a bit of a low self-esteem. And it was my mind that gave me that low self-esteem. It wasn't that you couldn't tell if you see me. Because, you know, the way you stand and carry yourself. And there are a lot of people out here this morning that are the way I feel or used to be. And they have low self-esteem, but you cannot tell. But that low self-esteem is in the mind. And what used to happen is I could not become what God had called me to become because I felt I could not do it. And because of that, I was not being fruitful. The fruitfulness that ought to come out of my life was not happening because I was not fruitful in my mind. Am I speaking to you this morning? You see, the mind can deceive and make people do or think in a certain way. The book of 1 Corinthians chapter 3 verse 18, it says that, let no one deceive himself. A lot of people deceive themselves because they do not understand that there's something called the fruitfulness of your mind. Am I speaking? 1 Corinthians chapter 3 verse 18. It says, let no one deceive himself. That's talking about not thinking about yourself much more than you are. But in reality, you can take the converse. The Bible also says in Galatians 6:3, it says, for if anyone deceives himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. But you can take the other side of it. And deceiving yourself or being deceived. When you say deceiving yourself, it is the mind that deceives people. And unless you become fruitful in your mind, it is difficult for you to be fruitful in reality. It is difficult for you to be fruitful in life. You see, my emphasis this morning is not so much on how the mind can deceive, but how we can make our minds more fruitful. The things we can do, the things we ought to do, to make us more fruitful in our mind. You see, the power of a fruitful mind is unlimited. It will amaze you that once you begin to understand and tap into what God has put in your mind and become fruitful in that area, then you are unlimited in the things you can achieve in life. In fact, non-Christians, you know, all these new agers or management consultants or what, they call it positive thinking. And they say that just think and visualize yourself doing certain things and you do it. But that's not what I'm talking about. I'm not here to motivate you. Those are motivational speakers. I'm here to transform your life. And my job is to do that through the Bible. A lot of the things they say is gotten from the Bible, but they don't know that. Amen? And you find out if you can look into the Word of God and understand that positive thinking in quotes, then you can become that thing that God has ordained for you to become. You see, a fruitful mind has the potential to produce abundant results. But this does not come naturally. I found out that a lot of people are not fruitful in their mind because it is not necessarily natural for everyone. For example, some people have a natural voice, nice voice, and some people need to train their voices in order to be able to sing. The same way with the mind, some people, in quotes, are fruitful by nature in their mind. But some people need to train, but you can train your mind. Let me use another example. Just the way you train your eyes, some people, when they see opportunities, they don't recognize it. But you can train your eyes to recognize business opportunities, to recognize certain kinds of opportunities, if you train your eyes the proper way. Now, the same way your mind can be trained to become fruitful, and that is what I want to talk about, to you about this morning, how to develop your mind. How to develop a fruitful mind. You see, a trained mind will increase your capacity. A trained mind will increase your productivity in most areas of your life. And the first thing I want to talk about that would help you to develop a fruitful mind is what I call meditation. Meditation. You see, you can develop a fruitful mind through meditation on the Word of God. I emphasize on the Word of God. Because a lot of people, a lot of religions meditate. But meditation on the Word of God will help you to develop a fruitful mind. In the book of Psalm chapter 1, verse 3, you know, 2 weeks ago I spoke about, I shared on Psalm, the keys to fruitful living, or to a fruitful life, I beg your pardon. And I based it on Psalm 1. But if you look at Psalm 1, in verse 2, it says something. It talks about the blessed man. It says, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And then it goes something, it says, and in his law he meditates day and night. And then it goes on after the meditation, he said, after the meditation, it shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, bringing forth its fruits in its season. And its leaf does not wither. But it first started with what they should not do. And then it goes on to what it should do. Before talking about the fruit that comes from the doing. Am I making sense? So, that talks about meditation. Get this. You need to get this. In the book of Joshua chapter 1 verse 8, the Bible says something. It says, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but in it you shall meditate day and night, for then you shall be prosperous, and then for then you shall have good success. It says you shall meditate on the book. What is the book? The book, the Word of God. Meditation on the Word of God will make you to be fruitful in your mind. Meditation on the Word of God will cause fruitfulness in the mind, and then for the fruitfulness to come forth physically. You see, meditation takes you from just reading and studying to inscribing the Word in your heart. Meditation takes you from just reading to really believing. You know that when you read the Word, there's a difference between reading it and really believing and understanding it. Oh, is somebody listening to me this morning? Get this. Meditation brings illumination into your spirit and understanding into your mind. When you meditate on the Word of God, what it does is it takes you from just reading a story. It takes you from just history. It takes you from just studying, and it takes you into the realm of relevance. Let me use an example. In the book of Deuteronomy chapter 8 verse 18, the Bible says something. It says, remember the Lord your God, for he is the one that gives you the power to make wealth or to get wealth. And then he says something, so that he may establish his covenant that he made with your fathers. Get this. If I take that scripture, for example, let's say I'm studying the Word, and I take that scripture and I begin to meditate upon it. By the time I start thinking about that, it should change my thinking. Let's say I'm working in a job that is not feeding me properly, that I'm not making, I cannot make ends meet. By the time I take that word, what I should sit down and begin to think is that the Bible tells me, the Bible says there that God is the one that gives the power to get wealth. Now, it says God gave the power to get wealth to the Israelites who were under a covenant, the Mosaic covenant. Now, I'm under a greater covenant than the covenant that was in the Old Testament. And this greater covenant, I know that the Old Testament is a type and shadow of the New Testament. Now, I know I'm an Israelite in spirit. Now, if that's, I understand that, then what I should begin to think is, if God gave the Israelites the power to get wealth, and I'm an Israelite, and I'm under a greater covenant now, then it means that God has given me the power to get wealth. And then I need to start, I'll start thinking to myself, okay, if I have the power to get wealth, what is this power? How do I know this power? Where can I find this power? Now, by beginning to meditate that what is this power? If I have something, you need to get this. Let's assume, I'm coming back there. Let's assume that I'm a mechanical engineer or a mechanic, and I have the tools to repair a car. I have the tools, but I don't know where the tools are. That is the way it is. I now know that I have the tools. I have the power. But all I need to do now is find what the power is and where they are. Now, how do I find the power? The Bible says that God is the one that gives me the power to get wealth. If the God is the giver, then that makes you, I should begin to think that what I need to do is to find the giver because he knows where and what power he has given me. And by the time I begin to meditate and pray, that Lord, what is this power that you have given me? The power could be an idea. The power could be wisdom. The power could be some skill that I've been given. The power could be something like just a connection. And as I begin to pray about it, to think about it and meditate upon it, God himself, the Holy Spirit will reveal to me. Oh my goodness, I don't know if you understand what I'm talking about. You need to get this. When you begin to meditate on something like that, you begin to think about the areas in your life that you never thought about before. You begin to think of the skills or some things that come naturally to you. Even some things that don't come naturally. Some things that you see and you just pass by normally. You begin to see them in a different light. But you know the reason why a lot of people don't see it? Because they don't meditate on the word of God. Am I speaking to someone? Let me. The Bible tells me in the book of Psalm 24, verse 1. The Bible tells me that, how does it say it again? That the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. Haggai 2:8, it says something. It says, the silver and the gold is mine. Now, if all those things belong to God, and God is my father, and I have an inheritance as his son, that makes me to understand that all he has, I have a claim to it. Oh, my goodness. That should begin to change my thinking and the way I operate in life. But what will bring all those? Meditation on the word of God. I spoke about low self-esteem earlier. You see, one of the ways in which I was able to overcome it is looking in the word of God and meditating in it. The Bible says, I'm made in the image of God. I've been created and fashioned after his likeness. Now, when I begin to think about that, I begin to realize that, hey, I'm better than this. I can do much more than what I can do right now. The way I'm thinking of myself is below par than the way God is thinking of me. And how do you get all this? By meditating. You see, when you meditate on the word of God, it begins to bring fruitfulness into your mind. Am I speaking to someone? You see, meditation will take you from a hearer of the word to a doer. Meditation makes you think about the relevance of the word to your life. And you see, when you understand the relevance and you begin to apply it, you find that fruitfulness comes. Get this? The understanding and application of the relevance is the fruitfulness of the mind. Because when you begin to understand it and begin to apply it, you know, you find out that there are many Christians, even here, that hear the word and read the word. So you listen to messages and you hear it. Yet they are not fruitful. But why? What makes a difference? Meditation. Meditation. A lot of people hear the message, they don't go back to think about the things that were spoken, how it applies to them, and then meditating on it. A lot of people pick up their Bibles in the morning, read their daily devotions, or whatever you do in the morning, or nights, but they just read, but they don't meditate. When you don't meditate, it is difficult for your life to be fruitful. It's difficult for you to be fruitful in your mind. Time will not permit me. In the Bible, you'll see meditation. David, Isaac. Isaac was in the field meditating. Jesus, a couple of times, he would go away alone. Pray, probably meditate. Like I said, it's some of it you already know. But the challenge is the practice. That's the first thing that will help to develop a fruitful mind in your life. When you begin to meditate, you can be certain that your thinking will change. In fact, if you start meditating on the Word of God, and you do it for 3 months, and your thinking has not changed, or your mind is not fruitful, come back to me, we'll give you back your tithe and your offering. I'm laying a claim on God by saying that there is no way the God I know. Listen to me. Years ago, I was the way I was brought up, you know, the country where I come from. The way they sort of teach me, or that I was taught, is that study, you know, go to school, do well in your exams, get your degrees, start working, and work for the rest of your life for someone. And try to rise to the top. That's the way we were brought up. So I grew up with that thinking and started doing that. But as I started getting more exposed, I started realizing that, hey, working for somebody for the rest of my life is not it. Now, some people are called to do that. But for me, I realized that that was not. And I wouldn't call myself as having business acumen naturally. But as I started meditating on the Word of God, studying the Word of God, I started seeing certain areas, myself in another light, that I can be an owner of multiple businesses, that I can create a business empire. You know, as I see my life, in fact, I started having more ideas, business ideas, than I could implement at one time. I started jotting it down, writing, you know, and what caused it? I started meditating on the Word of God. And then, as I meditated, I started praying some more. All this while, I was still working for somebody, but all those business ideas, I wrote various business ideas. Now, that is not exactly what God has called me to, but how did my thinking change? Meditation. I saw that Abraham owned, he was a business owner, more or less. He employed people. If you look at Jacob went alone. By the time he was coming back, he was a business owner. The Bible says he sent his servants ahead. He sent his wife. An employer does not have servants. Not usually. Sorry? Subordinates. But when you leave the organization, you don't take your subordinates with you. You don't carry them with you. They remain there and they serve the next person that takes your position. But Jacob carried the subordinates with him. So if you like, call them subordinates, but he carried them with him. Amen. That's the first thing. Meditation. You need to start thinking, or you need to start meditating on the word of God. The second thing, and you've probably heard this, is you want to begin to think out of the box. You want to begin to think out of the box. A lot of people, a lot of Christians have just one way of thinking. Not even Christians alone. A lot of people have one way of thinking. But you need to start learning how to think outside the box. You see, if I said a lot of people have one way of thinking, I'll probably come down to it later on. But a lot of people do not even spend time thinking at all. Before we even talk about thinking outside the box. You see, get this. When I say think outside the box is indicative of containment. The box is indicative of a restraint. The box is like, this is the area that you are only permitted or you can go to. And you know, a lot of times, education trains us to think within the box. And a lot of us, for the rest of our lives, we continue thinking inside the box. And you find out that for your mind to be fruitful, if 10,000 people are thinking inside the box and they are not fruitful, only 1% of the population is fruitful. Then there must be something that is not happening inside the box. Am I making sense? You see, some years ago, I came across an exercise, and you know, I'm sure some of you would have come across it. Management consultants use it a lot. And I remember the first time I came across it. Can you put it up for a minute, please? The first presentation. You know, they will tell you to draw 9 dots like that. Has anybody done this before? I'm sure a couple of people would have. You know, they'll draw 9 dots like that. And they'll tell you that they want you to put a line through each dot without lifting your pen or crossing, going over the same line twice. Now, the first time I did it, I tried to do it, I sat there. In fact, I did not get it. That's the truth. And a lot of people are constrained within that. But then, can you put the second one up? Let me just show you the solution. So that you too, next time. There's nothing that says that you cannot go outside the box. So you draw the line like this, come like that, out, in, out. But a lot of people, when they try to do it, what they do is, oh, how do I get it? Which is what I did. And do you know what? We live our lives trying to stay within and do the same thing. Am I making sense? And you find out that when you begin to think outside the box, you begin to find solutions that are not so obvious to the eye. Unless you think outside the box, the solution I spoke about, in fact, if they take it off and ask you to do it again, some people will miss it. You see, a lot of times, get this, when you think in the box, you make assumptions and constraints that are not necessarily true. You make assumptions that have not been defined, but you have defined in your mind. When people do that thing, they make the assumption in their mind because they said, pass the lines through the dots. They didn't say that you cannot go outside the whole dots. So people make the assumption that in order to pass the lines through the dots, I need to stay within that box. And that's how most people live their lives. They make the assumption or make an assumption based on their mind. Am I making sense this morning? You see, let me help you. How do you begin to try to think outside the box? And you know, you to think outside the box, you need to first of all, you know, be able to analyze the problem. So what was the problem? Draw the lines. And I'm just using this as an example. And then assess the situation and circumstances. The assessment does not necessarily mean you assume. And then the third thing is you begin to think of the various ways and alternatives in which you can solve it. And you want to begin to then challenge your way of thinking. So what do I mean by that? So by going through the various alternatives and solutions, you want to think about the ones that seem impossible. Things that seem impossible. Things that your parents never did before. Things that you've never heard anyone do. Write it down. And then begin to challenge your thinking that, okay, this one will it work. Why not? Why can't I try it? But you know, a lot of people discount the solution before they even think about it. And unless you think outside the box, let me use an example. You'll find out that in the Bible, and I'm just going to use this scenario to explain something. There are many instances that we can say that Jesus operated outside the box of his time. He was not constrained by the norm. He came up with solutions that were contrary to the way most people would have acted. Now, we know Jesus is the Son of God, and you know, he's God himself. So, yeah, a lot of them are miracles. But let me show you. Let's go to Matthew chapter 14 and just use an illustration for you. Are you getting blessed this morning? Matthew 14, verse 22. Matthew 14, 22. Are you there? It's a story we all know. It says something. It says, immediately Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side while he sent the multitudes away. Verse 23, and when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. Now, when evening came, he was alone there. But the boat was now in the middle of the sea, tossed by the waves, for the wind was contrary. Now, in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went to them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, it is a ghost, and they cried out for fear. Now, listen to me. Now, get this, I'm not blaspheming. Jesus is the Son of God, so he was able to walk on sea. But let me just explain this to you. Let me explain this. You know, we just read the story of Jesus walking on the sea. And I just want to use this to illustrate the concept of thinking out of the box. The first issue is that when Jesus finished praying, there was a problem. The problem was that he wanted to get to the other side of the sea. But there was no boat. And he was alone. So that was a problem. Yes? So that was a problem. Now, he assessed the situation. He was alone. One. There was no boat. Two. And there was no other means to cross. Three. So he assessed the whole situation. And then the alternatives could have been that, okay, number one, what's the alternative? I'll wait until next morning or when the next boat comes. Now, remember that Jesus came as the Son of as a man. So he had all these options as well. So the first alternative could have been wait until next morning or wait until the next boat comes, which most people would do. Number two, to shout and try to get the attention of his disciples to come back and get him because they were still along. So he could have shouted or tried to throw or get the attention one way or the other. Or number three, try to build a boat or raft which he would use to cross. Or number four, swim. Or number five, walk on water. Now, we know because Jesus is the Son of God, he walked on water. But I just use this to analyze the fact that he was the Son of God, or is the Son of God, does not mean those other alternatives were not available. But a lot of people, now, get this. We know he chose the alternative because he's the Son of God. But you see, a lot of people in that sort of situation may not even think of the various alternatives available to them. The alternative will be wait until somebody comes, or something as simple, or something, the most natural or most simple or simplest, you know, solution is what most people go for. In fact, what most people go for in their life when they are thinking at all is the simplest one and the first one that comes to mind. Usually, the first thing that comes to mind is what people do. And that does not necessarily make your mind fruitful. Am I making sense? And get this. You find that when you begin to think out of the box and implement those out-of-the-box solutions, your actions will begin to seem like a miracle. The solutions that you come up with will begin to seem like a miracle because people will be saying, how did you think of that? Have you heard people say to other people, how did you think of that? They thought outside the box when others were not thinking. Oh my goodness, I hope somebody's getting blessed here. You know, I was doing some, when I was preparing the message, I just did a bit of research on the internet, and I came across a story of a young boy called Adam Hughes, 17-year-old boy from Liverpool. Now, he went to do 2 weeks work experience, you know, a 17-year-old. Now, put this in context, and it's a real, true, whatever. A 17-year-old boy went to a printing firm, a barcode printing firm in Liverpool, and went to do 2 weeks experience, 2 weeks. Now, most teenagers that go and do 2 weeks experience, what do? All they're interested in is the money they want to get. And then most of the time, what happens? The company, or where they're doing the experience, they get them to do the most basic. They treat them like a messenger or clerk. They don't really let them handle anything. Isn't that true? Because 2 weeks, the 2 weeks is not enough time to even do induction before you can talk about allowing them to do anything worthwhile. So most people will just, you know, use that to sit around, get tea, and enjoy themselves. But this boy, 17-year-old, within those 2 weeks, he started challenging and thinking about why do they order things in the way they order. And he devised an online ordering system for the company. And they said that this new system won the company new business worth £622,000. And according to reports, this new business saved the company from bankruptcy. 17-year-old boy that went to do 2 weeks work experience and was able to think outside the box. Now, there are many grown-up people working in that organization. Is this making sense? Now, it doesn't say how much they gave the boy. But I would like to imagine that they would have rewarded him one way or the other. But what his mind, he was able to think outside the box when others just continued thinking the way things have always been done. One of the things that usually, when in the church as well, you know, when we, in fact, for this event as well, when we were planning for the conference we had, when we were planning and, you know, we were trying to, and, you know, I think we were trying to determine layout and various things. Not even layout, various things in addition to that. You know, and, it's not possible. I'm like, why not? Because I'm thinking there must be a way. Is this making sense? And you see, those arguments about it not being possible are logical because, I mean, the person, he has more experience in that area and things, which I agree. But I was ready to think outside the box, that is there any alternative? Does that make sense? Somebody say, think outside the box. The third thing that will help you to develop your mind. You know, I jumped because this should have come before the think outside the box. But number three is you want to set time apart to think and strategize. You want to have the time to think and strategize. You know, it's interesting because I remember some years ago, I may have shared this, I met a certain man of God. And I sat down and I was asking him questions, you know, well-known and all that. And he said that on Mondays, he doesn't do anything, that's his thinking day. And I was like thinking, well, he said he has a room and he just sits there thinking, does not go to the office, does not see anyone per se, and he's just thinking. Now, what he's doing is allowing the Holy Spirit to fill his mind with new ideas. Get this. When you don't have the time to think, you cannot have time to get new ideas. You cannot have time for creative ideas. You cannot have time for your mind to be fruitful, for the Holy Spirit to, for God to give you information. That you see, a lot of people are so busy going, living, earning their daily living, that they don't have the time to plan their future living. When you don't set time apart to think and strategize, what will happen is that you continue living daily, but not living future. You see, when you think, thinking expands your mind. When you think, thinking brings clarity into your life. I don't know if anybody has ever been in a situation, I have been there before, where it was like, you know, you have something that seems like a major problem or issue. And by the time you go away and sit down and think about it, you get a solution and you think to yourself that, hey, this is so simple. How come I didn't think about it before? You see, when you begin to set time, listen to me. When you begin to set time to think, it brings revelation into your mind. It broadens your horizon. You see, what thinking does is it expands your mind. Let me use this analogy. If you think of a bodybuilder, the more they lift weights, the more their muscles develops. That's what thinking is to the mind. The more you think, the more you get ideas. The more you think, the more your mind becomes fruitful. That's why the Bible says, as a man thinks, so is he. So as you think, the more you think, as you think more, that determines what you become more. Am I making sense? You know, I work as a consultant with my clients, and you know, I liaise with people from all levels of an organization. And one of the things I discovered, mistake I made early on in my career in those days when I was working for an organization, is that one of the greatest injustice and sins that you can commit is to advise or make suggestions without thinking things through. And you find that a lot of people do things without thinking things through. A lot of people marry, without thinking things through. A lot of people change jobs without thinking things through. Now, there's a difference if God has told you to. But even when God tells you to marry, you think things through. How are we going to survive? Where are we going to live? Some people marry and they live under their parents' house for the rest of the next 10 years. And then there's so much pressure. Am I making sense? Maybe not so much in this country. Oh, does it happen in this country as well? Not so much in this country, but where I come from. Now, sometimes circumstances. But when you think things through, you plan. Amen? If I were to ask a cross section of this hall that in 10 years' time, where will they see themselves or where do they see themselves? I'm certain that over half of the people here have not thought about it. I wouldn't be surprised if over half have not sat down to think about it. Let's even make it shorter, 5 years' time. I'm sure about half of the people, let's not even take a long-range view of 30, 35 years. What do you want to do in life that by the time you die, what are the things that you think God has told you to achieve or what you want to have achieved? A lot of people here would not have thought about it. And you see, when you don't think about those things, you cannot plan for them. When you don't sit down to think, you may think that you are doing very well. But in reality, in the scheme of things, you are not doing as well as God wants you to be doing. Am I speaking to someone this morning? You know, I encourage the ministers, the leaders, you know, whenever I've encouraged them so many times, I said they need to set time apart, retreat, you know, take time to go and think and all that. And in reality, you want to do that as well. Now, for the, you know, I don't mean every week. After I met with that gentleman, I tried it one day. I tried it a couple of times. And I sat in my study. And I thought, I want to think today. Do you know it is one of the most difficult things you can do? I got my pen and paper and I sat down. And after some time, I thought, what am I doing here? Oh, yeah. But there are ways of doing it. You take books with you and various things, you know, to start yourself off. But even if it, let me take it down a bit. For people that have been on time management courses, you know, one of the things they say is plan your day, think about what you're going to do and all that on a daily basis. Now, I'm sure a lot of people don't do that. But when you don't think, your mind cannot be fruitful. Let me tell you something else. When you think, and as a Christian, when you think, listen to this. Oh, let me backtrack a bit. One of the things I've found is that when you pray as a Christian, yes, you pray, and then you sit down and think, God begins to reveal the future to you concerning your life, your destiny. In fact, 1 Corinthians 14:14, it says something. It says, I will pray with my spirit and pray with my understanding. It says, if I do not pray with my understanding, how can my mind be fruitful? So when you pray with your spirit and then with your understanding, God begins to reveal things to you. And you sit down and you begin to think. Am I making sense? Let me try to round up. The last point I want to make Yeah, it says, but my understanding is unfruitful. You know, another version says, my mind is unfruitful. I think NIV, if you change it to NIV, it says, my mind is unfruitful. The last point I want to make is reading. Now, you want to read books. You see, I know a lot of Afro-Caribbeans read a lot. But I'm not just talking about the one that you read to get a degree. Because that's what a lot of people do. We read to get a degree in order to further our career, which is brilliant. But I'm talking about reading around certain subjects, certain areas, areas that would develop your skills. Some years back, I'm sure you guys have heard the book, or heard of the book, Read That Poor Dad. Yeah? Now, when I read that book years ago, it changed my thinking. It changed the way I used to think. Now, if I had not read it, my thinking would not have changed. Am I making sense? When you read, you see, there are some places that you cannot get to that a book can get you to. There are some things that may take you 20 years to get to or to learn and understand that all you need to do is when you pick up a book, within a week, you learn and you have an understanding of those things. You know, I think it's Miles Monroe. He said that if you want to hide something from a black man, put it in a book. Now, I'm sure he didn't mean like books of education or, you know, that you would use to get a degree because we read. We read, but we don't read. If I were to ask how many people have read at least 6 books this year, that things that don't relate to lecture, to your course, or to your thesis, less than half. That's even less than a book a month. That's less than a book a month. You know what? You know, and I've shared this so many times. If there's an area in your life that you have challenges in, I always say this. I say that in reality, Christians especially, in Christian in the Western world, we don't have any excuse because there are so many materials around, available for us to pick up and read and learn. So many resources. We don't have an excuse. If you want to learn about mentoring, there are books. If you want to learn about marriage, there are books. If you want to develop your mind in the area of finances, books. Business, books. I remember when we wanted to start a business. I bought quite a number of books. I bought Richard Branson's book. I bought the book about Jack Welch. I read about what's this? I mean, quite a number of them. Starting a business, various things. I did not assume that because I had a business idea, I wanted to see how people that went before me, how they did it, how they thought. When we wanted to start a consultancy firm, I did an MBA, but I went back to read about organizational behavior. Why? Because I realized that I need to develop my mind in those areas. I had to start thinking and changing my thinking and reading that no longer as an employer, but more like an employee. No longer as an employee. But start thinking and changing my mind, things that will change my mind and make me start thinking like an employer. But if you don't read, then what is happening is that area, you cannot be fruitful in that area. You know, What I found out is that sometimes it is not the lack of ideas. For some people, it's not a lack of vision. For some people, it's not a lack of ideas. For some people, it's not a lack of implementation. They even start implementing it, but a lack of knowledge. And when you don't read, you cannot have the knowledge. Your mind cannot be fruitful in that area. You know, one of the things about as well that I find out is that, okay, maybe because of the line of work I do. You know, it's one thing to read in one area, but you want to read about other areas. I find myself, now I don't have so much time anymore, but, you know, I'll pick up various, my wife is a pharmacist, I'll pick up her pharmaceutical journal, start reading it. What's my own and pharmacy? But what that does to me is that there's hardly most areas that people that I come into contact with people, I know something about that area that they want to talk about. And what does that do? How does that help me? It helps me to connect. It helps you. If you know about various topics, you can, you see, I'm not a stockbroker. But when you start talking about stocks and shares, I understand. I'm not so much an estate agent. But talk about housing market and the economy. I'm not an economist. Well, I studied economy years ago. But talk about the economy. I understand what you're talking about. But if you don't read, even the people that God may send your way to reach out to, because you cannot connect with them, am I making sense? You see, reading will take you to places that you cannot go. In fact, I remember a certain gentleman, I think I was reading his book or listening to his message. I don't remember which one now. And he was saying that, you know, he grew up very poor in the country I come from, Nigeria. You know, they were very poor. But he said growing up, you know, after he became a Christian, he started reading. And as he read, he felt the call of God in his life. As he read, you know, would read Kenneth Hagin's books and things like that. He would see himself ministering in various areas. You know, he would see himself in America. He would see himself in this area. He would see himself. And from the reading, his mind was being expanded. And this man now goes to nations of the world. When you read, you may never have been to Paris. But you can talk about what's there. Yeah. You can talk about what's there. Even the people that have been there, they don't know what's there. Eiffel Tower. You will describe it, you can tell them the height. Hallelujah. Turn to the person next to you and say, develop your mind. You need to develop a fruitful mind. You need to read. No, tell them you need to read. Let me end with this. They've made life easier for people that feel that, although nothing beats taking the book and holding it and marking, you know, marking it and making. But let's say you are even busy. They've made life easier. You have all these audio books. So you don't really have an excuse. And if they have not made the audio book, buy it, pay somebody to read it into an audio, and then. Are busy, then pay somebody to do it and you slot it in your CD and listen to it. Hallelujah. Praise God. Let's rise to our feet.